Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Maui and Honolulu join a health pass program in the islands. United extends some ticket refund dates, and the Queen Mary may be nearing the end of her days in Long Beach. Details next.
Cruise lines make a good portion of their profits after you purchase your cabin. At 320, we'll make you a smarter traveler by identifying some of the hidden costs of cruising.
The travel industry has taken a lot of punches over the last 18 months. I'll talk about travelers who are playing beat the system and why it's increasingly difficult for a scam, even a small one, to be successful at 335.
And we close with something from our entertainment bag. The question is, why are aliens descending on the Hudson Valley?
Oh, no.
Shock Doc's Alien Invasion Hudson Valley is currently streaming on Discovery Plus. We'll explore the answer at 3:50.
That's kind of an interesting interview. I was listening to it. Yeah, that you did, Tom, on this. I was listening to it yesterday, and it was pretty cool. From aliens to old ships with ghosts on board, along with some good refund news, we bring it all to you every Sunday. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets.
To Alaska, I go north, the rush is on.
All our bond and the man.
I come from a land, land, land.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
With the show.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you. Don't forget now, our website is travelguysradio.com. Links to our special guests and much more can be found there on a weekly basis, as well as podcasts of previous Travel Guys programs. You know, Mark, in our little music piece that we run at the top of the show, the version of Route 66 is done by a group called Asleep at the Wheel. Of course, everybody and their dogs have done that song, of course. But anyway, Asleep at the Wheel was a band that I followed back in the late 60s, early 70s, 50 years ago. And they played the Shire Robe Pub here in Sacramento. That was the venue that they would frequent from time to time. They're coming to the Crest Theater for a 50th year reunion, get-together, and playing at the Crest. I think it's in October. I saw that, and I just couldn't help but just really want to go.
Yeah, you so, realize all these guys now, if it's 50th reunion, do the math, they have to be at least 70, 75.
You know, I remember watching them on stage and thinking, you know, these guys are just a little older than me. So I would definitely say they're up there. But anyway, be curious to see how many people are still the same in the band. But they were a great country swing band, to put it lightly. Anyway, here we are to make you a smarter traveler and have some fun here on a Sunday afternoon. Mark, what's new at the old Sports Leisure Vacations on a holiday weekend?
We were very busy all week because our new tour catalog came out last weekend.
Yeah, it go well?
And, it did. We were, phones rang off the hook, and people are really eager to travel. And, of course, they're concerned about traveling safely. We had this thing where, you know, COVID was bad, and then it kind of lightened up, and people in the middle of the summer, people thought, well, you know, it's going to be okay to travel now. So they let their guard down, and now what's happening is a lot of people have gotten themselves in situations where, and it isn't just with my company, I hear this from other travel entities all over, there's a whole bunch of people who made reservations 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months ago, now have decided that maybe they don't want to go, except that what's happened is they're within a penalty period now. They've waited, they gambled, and they waited too long, and now they want to get out of what they're into, and unfortunately, it's not that easy. Sometimes you know, if you're going on a trip with my company, we've bought a plane ticket for you. We may have paid some other thing. Anyway, we're going to talk about this after the news at the bottom of the hour and try to give our listeners a little bit of wisdom about what to do if they're in one of these situations and how to avoid it. And, of course, we're going to make them a smarter traveler at 320 by talking about cruises. And we've got more information here than Carter has liver pills.
Well, with that being said, I guess we better get to it. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we do our best to bring you up to date on the travel news. And with the latest travel news, I mean, we're hot off the press, my friends.
Hot. So yeah. Hot, you can't even... Ow! Ooh! Drop those papers on the floor.
Okay, what do you got for us, Mark?
Well, over in the islands, as you know, ever since COVID started, they've been trying to figure out how to get people to the islands safely and let tourists roam around. And they don't have a massive health care system there. So they're concerned about outbreaks of COVID that could overwhelm their health care system. And so, as you know, Hawaii was shut down for a long time. They opened up. They, like many destinations, they've had some COVID issues. They don't want to shut down again because, after all, tourism is kind of the lifeblood of the islands. And so two of the islands now have developed basically a health pass. And you can call it a vaccination pass if you want to. This is what's happening all over. If you've gotten your shots, you're welcome in. And if you haven't gotten your shots, you need to stay outside. And so Maui is calling it a health pass. Oahu called it Safe Access Oahu. The Oahu program is for restaurants, bars, gyms, movie theaters, museums, arcades, and other similar establishments. The Maui program for now is just restaurants, but they're saying it could be expanded soon. So just be aware of the fact that when you go to the islands, that you're probably don't go to the islands if you're not vaccinated. Because you may find that you have to get on the airplane and turn around and come back. So testing is
good.
Well, if you go there and you can't get into anything, then we're back in that same situation what we've been telling folks really throughout COVID, and that is do your homework. Make sure that you know where you're going is someplace that you are welcome, where people from the destination you're coming from are welcome. All that kind of jazz. Here is some good news in the travel world. We talked about the airlines who issued all those vouchers to people, and the vouchers were about to expire sometime. Mm-hmm. Some of them have already expired, but the rest of them will expire sometime in the next 8-10 months, even the ones that were good for 2 years. And more than once on this program and other travel media people have chastised the airlines for you got a whole truckload, many truckloads of taxpayer dollars and to save your airline, and now you're turning around and nickeling and diming those very people who helped get you all that money. Why would you do that? You might need some money again someday, and people might remember. So anyway, none of the airlines has really broken ranks until this week. United Airlines announced that any tickets for future flight credit starting with now, you've got 12 months, which was the old standard policy. But anything that was issued on or before December 31st of this year, so you've actually got a couple more months under this grandfathering program, will be valid until the end of the year next year. So if you have a travel credit that's a year or a year and a half old, you've got until December 31st of next year, if it's on United Airlines, to use it. My guess is that the other airlines will fall in line with this fairly quickly. This just came up on Thursday. United announces on Thursday, long weekend. My guess is that the other airlines will fall in line because this is a huge competitive advantage if United is the only carrier. Once again, if you have a United Airlines ticket that expired before the 31st of December this year, it will be valid until December 31st of next year.
2022.
So that's all probably kind of clear as mud. But it's good news. If you're sitting on a United ticket, Delta Airlines has done a similar thing. It's not quite exactly the same. American Airlines also has followed with something here. My guess, though, is that we're going to see everybody do that. Southwest is talking about it also. So it may be that all of this moaning and complaining that we all did was of some value, because the airlines now appear to be backing off and giving people a bigger window in which to use those credits.
Now, it seems to me, I recall that with Southwest, this was back pre-COVID, that if you had a ticket that you purchased that was going to expire, that you could call them up and for a fee you could buy an extension, another year or whatever. Has there been any of that kind of thing going on? Are people inadvertently trying and paying for an extension that they didn't need to?
Well, what's been happening now is everybody has just been waiting to see, as the pressure built up on these airlines, like I said, they accepted a lot of money. And, of course, they didn't keep their staffs with those money. I just picked someone up at the airport just a few minutes before the program, Chris Galloway of our staff, who came in on United from the other side of the country this morning, who was 2 hours later getting here than he thought he was going to be because his plane couldn't leave on time this morning from Richmond because they didn't have enough. It was a crew issue. And when he got to Sacramento, when he got to Denver, they had to leave late because they couldn't get the bags loaded onto the plane. The pilot just explained there weren't enough people on the ramp and that it was just taking a little longer. Well, so when they got to Sacramento here, same thing happened. Took a long time for the bags to come in. Here's the deal, though. Now that plane goes back to Denver. It's going to be an hour late getting back to Denver. A good number of the people who are on that almost full aircraft are going to have issues with connecting flights. And that plane is going to go a couple other places, and they'll probably have issues in those places too. Most connections at hubs are an hour or so. So if your plane's an hour late, you're either running through the airport like a mad person, or you're not going to make it. So just little things like that cascade and create these huge problems for the airlines, where one plane being late can cause hundreds of people to misconnect over the course of a day and means that the airlines have to spend a tremendous amount of time and effort. So they're not trying to make this. I saw a great, great thing in a drive-thru at Jack in the Box the other day. Maybe you'll agree with me. It said, "Everyone all around the planet is short-staffed. Be kind to those who showed up."
There you go. Ain't that the truth?
Because people, you tend to want to unload on the person who's there because things aren't exactly perfect without realizing that if that person wasn't there, things would be a lot less exactly perfect.
Yeah, or you wouldn't be there at all.
Well, yes. Or the line would be, I can remember being in another part of the country when this first started and coming back and relating to people about being in drive-through lines at fast food restaurants for 30, 40 minutes because they just don't have enough staff. So be careful when you get in one of those situations before you unload on people because, indeed, you might just be grateful that that person showed up and you were able to get the service or the product that you wanted. Queen Mary has been the home of, for many years, it was home of the Spruce Goose, which has now been moved to Oregon to an aviation museum. The Queen Mary was right next door. Queen Mary still sits there. It is a rusting bucket o' bolts. It's an old cruise ship. It must cost a tremendous amount of money for upkeep and the like because it's sitting in the water. Mm-hmm. And so the Queen Mary is in one of those. It's been here a couple of times. The city is looking for somebody. The ship has filed bankruptcy. The owners have filed bankruptcy. They're looking for somebody maybe who might want to buy the Queen Mary. The possibility is to transfer control of it to the city. But if the ship is costing a lot of money, then the taxpayers of the city would have to take it over. You're looking at probably, they're saying hundreds of millions of dollars to be able to bring the ship back up to, because they've got all these issues with leakage and, you know, it's an ocean liner. So it's got an engine room and it's got all those things that an ocean liner would have that you might not be using, but you still have to make sure that the glue and the scotch tape is holding it together and that, you know, sewage water isn't running down the middle of the hallway. So good luck to the folks in Long Beach. I don't think this is going to have a particularly happy ending. As more folks, as more destinations are saying, hey, you know, you got to be vaccinated to come here, or you can't go into this theater or into this theme park, People are starting now to look at alternate ways to get around those rules. From Hawaii comes the headline, woman accused of using fake Moderna vaccine card to enter Hawaii. They spelled it, of course, it's M-O-D-E-R-N-A, and it was spelled on her card, M-A-D-E-R-N-A. Yeah, it was not apparently a very good fake, but the people in Hawaii remind people that she's not the first person. She was arrested Saturday. They caught her. They were suspicious of her when she came in. She told people she was going to stay at a Holiday Inn Express hotel, and they looked for her there, and she was not there. So they knew when she was leaving to go back to the mainland. So they waited for her at the airport until she showed up, and they arrested her because she'd used false documentation, hadn't given them the proper the name of the right hotel and stuff. This is an upgraded misdemeanor. This can send you to jail for as long as a couple of years. I don't know if that will happen to this lady or not, but I'm going to suggest to anybody who's thinking of using a fake vaccination card, especially at an airport, if you're going to get a fake card and use it at the movie theater where a 17-year-old kid is checking it instead of at the airport when somebody's checking it who can maybe put you, like, in the pokey. Canada, as we told you, you can go to Canada. You can come back from Canada. You can fly to Canada. There aren't very many flights right now. But make sure that you have that you're vaccinated. Make sure that you have a plan, a quarantine plan. We have a group that's leaving for Niagara Falls tomorrow. They're actually flying to Buffalo, so they'll cross the border on land, which is a little simpler at this point in time. But make sure that you have – they'll go with the tour director, so if anybody doesn't have their results from their test yet, we're going to a hotel that's just over the border, and that's our plan B. So make sure if you're doing some of this stuff where, you know, borders open one way and not the other and stuff, be really careful. Do your homework and know exactly what you're doing. And if you do your homework a week ahead of time, do it again 24 hours ahead of time because things are changing often. More European countries are introducing restrictions on U.S. travelers, another reason to do your homework if, for heaven forbid, you're going overseas. Southwest Airlines is offering Rapid Reward members double-tier qualifying points on a bunch of flights. So if you're a Southwest person, you might want to take a look at that. And here's the first of what I suspect will be many stories. Hotel brands must uphold promises to clean rooms on request. It's from somebody who went to a Hilton, asked for service every day, and was told, no, we only clean rooms every third day. And a guy showed them the website where it says, on request, Hilton cleans rooms every day. Anyway, he's got a dispute going on. He wrote a big article about it, which has gotten all over the web now, and I am not surprised. We knew from the beginning this was a dodge to save money dressed in COVID clothing from the hotels. So we'll keep an eye on them, and that's your travel news for today.
Well put. All right, and we are Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Again, TravelGuysRadio.com is where you can go to find links to our special guests and much more. All right, let's talk about the increasing difficulty that goes on with hidden fees on cruise ships. We're going to make you a smarter traveler. How to identify those hidden fees. That's next here on the Travel Guys.
If you ever plan to motor west.
Oh, yeah, this Route 66 thing is just like all over my skin here, and I'll tell folks a little bit more about it, why, later on in the program. Right now, let's get to it. Mark, all right, cruises, you know, you book it, you got it going, you spent the money.
We babbled a long time. We got about 4 minutes here. Hidden costs of cruising. We want to just talk to folks about, we've addressed this before. You pay a price to get on the ship, and then they come after you after that. Here are some of the ways they come after you and some of the things you can do to avoid them. First of all, shore excursions. Cruise lines sell shore excursions at incredibly inflated prices. One thing to be careful of when you go on shore and order your own, make absolutely certain that you will be back before the ship sails. Because independent people are not tied to the cruise line. Something happens, vehicle breaks down, there's traffic, some kind of issue. You don't get back. You save $40 on the shore excursion. It costs you $1,600 to catch up with the ship. at its next port of call. So just there's a lot of money to be saved there, but really do your homework and really be careful. It's also insurance in foreign countries. Is this operator insured? If he's working through the cruise line, probably yes. Working independently, probably no. Just do your homework there. Be careful. Alternative dining on ships, that's the where you eat in one of their specialty restaurants on board, and there's an upcharge for that. I've never understood that, but you can find plenty of good dining on board where you don't have to pay the upcharge. So that's one way you can save money. Alcohol and other beverages, especially water and the like, they're going to charge you an arm and a leg. They're also going to try to make sure you don't bring that stuff on board with you, even bottled water. Because they sell it at exorbitant prices. So just know, if you're a drinker, alcohol is where you're really going to get hit on a cruise. So if you like to have two in the evening, maybe you only have one. Spa and salon treatments on board are expensive, particularly in the middle of the cruise, particularly on days when there are no ports of call. There often are specials right after you get on board, maybe for the first day, and oftentimes for the last day. So if you're going to get a spa or a salon treatment on board, look for those specials and when they come up. And also just know that when everybody's stuck on board the ship and can't get off, that's when you're going to pay a little bit of extra. On board activities also are another place where the ship looks to make money. Laundry service is going to cost you a lot on board. Tips are going to be automatically added to your account in many cases. So these are some things. We're going to post this. There are 10 of them at travelguysradio.com that you can look at to things where you can make decisions that will save you money when you're on board a cruise ship.
All right, there you go. Once again, the TravelGuysRadio.com links to a lot of what we talk about can be found there. All right, we're going to take a short time out for the news here coming up on KFBK, and then afterwards we're going to talk about, travelers trying to beat the system because they waited too long to get their refund. A lot of it's going on, and we'll share details and make you a smarter traveler there, too. Thanks for joining us. We are the Travel Guys. We'll be back in just a few. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, right here on the radio every Sunday, 3 to 4. All right, Mark, let's see what's going on. We talked a little bit about this at the top of the program.
We did.
You've experienced it. You've talked to other travel companies as well.
Yep.
And people in the travel industry. You know, we talked about people thought that this would be, you know, things would be pretty relaxed. We were headed towards, you know, open waters here, and COVID was, the tide was turning, and then all of a sudden it shifted back. What are travelers saying? What are their needs? What are they trying to do? What do they want?
Well, this whole COVID thing has been a cyclical affair. And there have been times when it has looked like things, we were in the all clear, like earlier this summer. And there have been times like now when it looks like we're not. The situation is a little different this time around because the infections of the virus are occurring more among people, and the hospitalizations are occurring more among people who are not vaccinated. So the folks who got vaccinated, and a lot of us are going to get a booster shot. Mine's coming up next week. So in order to be able to be safe when we're traveling, some folks have chosen not to get vaccinated for a wide variety of reasons. But what's happening is that we've now had a little bit of a backslide, and a lot of people who made travel reservations earlier this year have decided that, you know, it's not as safe as I thought it was. And as I get close to my departure time, I've really decided that I shouldn't go. Or someone in their family decides that really, mom, you know, you're 84 years old and you're traveling by yourself, and I really don't think you should be out there. And so they convince them otherwise. Then what happens is people go and they try to cancel their reservation, and then they find that they are within a penalty period. In many cases, those penalty periods kick in around 60 days before departure. Sometimes on international trips, they'll be a little longer than that. Or certain specialty trips, sometimes on trips closer in, like at my company. We're a tour operator here in town. Shorter trips or day trips might only have a 30-day or a 21-day cancellation. Whatever it is, people decided that they felt kind of safe and they were going to go. And then as it got closer to for folks who had departures in September and October, they started saying, well, geez, this is kind of all over. This COVID has come back, and I don't know if I really feel comfortable, and I don't want to go. So they call up the company, and they say, gee, you know, we've decided not to go, and it's 42 days before departure, so can you help us get our money back? And then in some cases, the person on the other end of the line is explaining that, well, actually, the time for getting all of your money back and canceling without having, you know, a doctor's note or something like that was 60 days. So yeah. Now perhaps the company has already purchased your airline ticket. Perhaps as they get closer to departure, the chances of them filling your seat with someone else get smaller and smaller. So now you're going to have to pay for the seat on whatever transportation you were using, a van, a motor coach, whatever. But a prorated portion of those expenses are going to be charged against you when you cancel late. You'll probably have a prorated portion of the tour director's expenses. So now, if we're looking at a $500, $600 airline ticket and a trip that's 5, 6, 7 days, your seat on the bus is a couple $300, and your share of the other hard, what we call hard costs of the trip, things that, that have to be shared by all the passengers, maybe another $100, $150. So you're looking at $1,000 to cancel because you waited a couple weeks too long. So now the response from many of the travelers have been, well, gee, I bought cancellation protection. How come it doesn't cover me? Because fear of an illness is not a covered reason to cancel. If you have respiratory issues and you are scheduled to go someplace where there's a bad fire and you say, but I have respiratory issues and I could get very sick there, the insurance company is going to say, we're sorry to hear that, but you're not sick and you're not there. So we only pay... Imagine that you called the fire insurance company and said, I think my house is going to burn down next week, so you should probably pay me. They'd think you'd lost your mind. You buy fire insurance. If your house burns down, then they pay you. If you think your house, if all the other houses in your neighborhood burn down and you think yours might burn down too, that's not going to be good enough. So this is kind of a roundabout way of trying to explain to folks that you have to actually have the problem before... Fear of the problem, unless you purchased insurance that is canceled for any reason, and that is usually about twice as expensive as regular insurance, and it oftentimes doesn't refund you in cash. It'll refund you a voucher or something you can use for future travel, but it doesn't get you cash. So if you are one of those people and you're thinking, I have to tell you, I've seen it half a dozen times this week from with my company. I've done this a long time. When somebody calls and they're kind of giving you a fib, a little white lie, you can usually tell. And because oftentimes they're not real good at it. And so now you've got some customer whose business you really value, someone who you, maybe you you really like. And they're in a situation where if you don't charge them $600, $700, or $800 a person, it's going to come out of your pocket. And I just have to tell you that after a year and a half of this, that's not going to happen. So if you registered for something, and now you've decided you don't want to go, you have to put on your big girl or your big boy pants and call up the company and say, look, this is, we've decided that, you know, we're just not comfortable. We can't go. What can you do for us? If you call up and you are honest from the get-go, there's a possibility that somebody might say, well, you know, let's see here what we can do. Maybe we can get this airline ticket. Maybe we can get you credit for it, as opposed to you just having to eat it entirely. So now instead of losing $600, you've got a ticket you can use on United or American or whatever carrier it is for a year or a year and a half. It's not cash, but it might be something that you can convert to as good as cash at some point. I guess the thing is that what I'm trying to get to here is if you're trying to fib to an insurance company or the person who works with the insurance company, the travel entity of whatever it is, and lie to them a little bit and get your claim to go through, just know that in many cases, these are formal insurance things. It's a misdemeanor or a felony, depending on the amount, insurance fraud. So don't get yourself into a situation where you were trying to tell a little fib and save yourself a few hundred dollars, and you had to hire a lawyer, and you got yourself into a big situation, because that's what's happening right now. And most of these travel entities, cruise lines and the like, they got hundreds of people trying to pull this garbage on them, and they've said enough is enough. So they're calling the doctors, and they're verifying the illnesses and the things, and finding out if people really are being honest with them. And when you're not, then they're not only not paying off, but in some cases, people can find themselves liable for charges.
Quick question. Somebody has booked a travel.
Uh-huh.
They find that they have gotten cold feet. They are trying to find a way to get out of it. And they're telling another couple, some of their friends, about this. And they said, well, we're not afraid to travel. We'll take that trip off your hands. Do travel companies say, well, I'll tell you what, can you replace it with somebody that may want to travel? In other words, sell your travel to someone else.
That's an excellent question, Tom. In some cases, the answer is yes. If it's domestic travel, and in many cases, like when we make group airline reservations with United, up until 3 days before departure, we can do a name change. So if the ticket's in your name and the guy down the street wants to take your place, then we can slide him right in. The airline doesn't charge us anything, and we don't charge you anything. So in some cases, when that person slides in, then whatever other expenses, they're occupying the bus seat, they're occupying the first night at the hotel that was non-refundable. In some cases, you can eliminate the charge altogether. Of course, it depends on the company you're dealing with and how honest they are and stuff like that. It pains the heck out of me to have to charge a really good customer a lot of money on a cancellation
sure.
fee, especially somebody who's really nice and
right.
would never cheat you. And you know, they you say, well, you know, this is going to cost you $900 to cancel. And they're like, it's okay. I don't want to go. I've decided that whatever it costs, that's all. I'll eat it. As opposed to trying to make up this little white lie that involves a doctor and, well, you know,
a
you describe this word.
Whatever.
Well, yeah, or,
yeah.
Or they go to the forms that they signed that said that they will abide by the terms and conditions, and then they start one word at a time trying to pick apart the terms and conditions and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, in most cases, people are happy to work with you. A lot of travel companies have taken a lot of hits. So maybe they're not quite as willing to work with you now. But again, if you gambled and didn't take the protection, or you gambled and got too close to departure date, and now you've changed your mind, then you made an adult decision. So live with that adult decision. Call up and put yourself at the mercy of the company, and perhaps they'll have some flexibility, and they might be able to do something for you. It may not be everything you're hoping for, but maybe the damage will only be, you know, maybe the beating will only last half as long, which, you know, would be a good thing too. So anyway, it's come up a number of times here over the last couple of weeks, and when I checked around, I found out the same thing is happening all over. You, like you said, buyer's remorse. And the funny thing is, this changes so quickly and so often. People who are begging to get out of things now that leave in a month from now, things may have changed entirely again, and they might feel very comfortable about traveling. So that's how goofy this all is right now.
Right.
If you're not vaccinated, or if you're just really skittish like that, then don't buy any travel right now.
Yeah, there you go. I think words of wisdom there from somebody who's been doing it for 40-plus years. Well, okay, let's see. We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. Again, travelguysradio.com. I spent some time with a gentleman who put together a documentary that's currently running on Discovery Plus, Shock Doc's Alien Invasion Hudson Valley. You know, Mark is a big alien kind of guy, a ghost kind of guy,
and yeah.
A ghost guy. And sometimes this deal, whether it's an alien or a ghost, it's kind of a fine line. Anyway, it's all going to be revealed when we return with Alien Invasion from Hudson Valley next on the Travel Guys.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight.
Hey there, Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys here, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as promised, we've got someone you might have seen before. Mark appears on various networks, including ABC, CNN, Discovery, Sci-Fi History, National Geographic, Science Channels. Also regularly on NASA's Unexplained Files on the Discovery Channel. His name is Mark D'Antonio. Mark, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hey, thanks, man. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You know, a lot of people think that Area 51 is where all the ghosts hang out, but it appears that in Shock Dock, Alien Invasion Hudson Valley, your new two-hour special, now streaming on Discovery, tells otherwise. Tell us a little bit about it.
I live on the eastern edge of Hudson Valley in western Connecticut, because, of course, the Hudson Valley knows no borders. In the 80s, when I actually was a MUFON investigator, Mutual UFO Network investigator. Now I'm the chief photo and video analyst for MUFON, and an astronomer. I went to school for astronomy because I wanted to find out what else was out there, you know. And in the 80s, I got a call from someone that said something strange was happening over her house in the Hudson Valley. And I ended up talking to a state trooper, you know, and he ended up relaying to me a photograph that the airline pilot took over his house of this object. And the photo is fairly famous. It's out there. You know, I gave it to a one magazine, say, well, do you know what this is, kind of a thing. And it just spread like wildfire. This is just one event. And that one event had over 200 people stopped on their cars on the highway and out of the cars looking at this thing going over the highway. If it was military, it was the strangest military object anyone had ever seen. And then it was gone as quick as it was there. And, you know, the Hudson Valley people will tell you, yeah, well, that's par for the course around here. The Hudson Valley is basically, and this is the truth, okay? The Hudson Valley is something, a place where people have traditionally been very to themselves, kept to themselves. They don't say much, okay? But you know what? We get there and, you know, myself, Ben Hansen, and Melissa Tittle as investigators, and we bring the town together in a town hall. Okay, many of these people, the town of Pine Bush, New York, hamlet of Crawford. We had many of the townspeople there. It started when one guy started telling us what he experienced. It helped that he was also someone who was a fairly high up person in the town. And he was kind of fidgeting with his hands and kind of looking down. You know, he wasn't very excited to tell us, but he told us anyway because he just wanted to get it off his chest, you could tell. And the people around him, I was looking at the people around him primarily, actually, and they were all mouths agape, eyes as big as saucers, no pun intended. One of them said, did that happen to you? And he said, yeah, it did. He goes, me too. It happened to me too. And next thing you know, there's a flood of people saying, yeah, me too. And I had this happen. It happened here. It happened over there. And, you know, and they're all pointing and it's like, whoa, 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 slow down, folks. We're going to get to each of you. This is what we've discovered in Hudson Valley. People have had these experiences, and they never talked about it. No one has ever known. They've never been able to trust enough, I think. And that's fair. You know, you want to be labeled a nutcase because you share something like this?
My special guest is Mark D'Antonio, Shock Doc, Alien Invasion Hudson Valley, streaming on Discovery Channel. It's a two-hour special. Now that the U.S. government can no longer deny the existence of the UFOs, do you find this a reason why people are stepping out and it telling what they've been seeing?
Well, with the latest government releases, that's changed. Because even the government admits that things are out there that they don't understand. And that's kind of very important. When you meet someone who says that, you know, they're afraid to come out of their house, you figure, okay, well, you know, one person afraid to, you know, come out, one person relaying some strange thing. You can dismiss them as someone that maybe had a dream or whatever, right? If you have many people like that, 20 people or more, you know, who all say, yeah, that happened to me too at a different time. It's sort of slightly different, but that's mine was similar. And they recount it right then and there. These are people that, you know, in our view, weren't making up things. We had people there to detect whether people might be deceptive with us.
Mark, what was the goal?
You know, the goal when we arrived was to find out what's happening in Hudson Valley. We knew that it was a hot spot. We knew that things were going on. As an astronomer, I'm very intrigued with the potential that extraterrestrial life has made it here and is potentially studying us or whatever. So the goal was for me to try and figure out if that was really happening.
Did you intend to try to communicate with these unknown entities? Did you take a shot? Were you successful?
We absolutely did try. And based on what I saw, it looked like we were successful.
Our special guest has been Mark D'Antonio. The program Shock Doc Alien Invasion Hudson Valley. It's streaming on Discovery. It's a 2-hour special that you're going to enjoy. Should creep you out a little bit, too. Thanks again, Mark.
Thanks, man. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, there you go, my friends.
Aliens the Hudson Valley.
Hudson Valley. Yeah, Mark, see anything in the sky ever? No?
I went out and talked to my deceased ghost hunter out in Good Springs, Nevada, and I plan to go back out there one of these days and see if I can talk to him again. So that might be. I think there's something to the whole ghost thing. I really do. I believe that maybe not everybody passes from being alive to being dead really easily, and since no one has ever come back and written a book and explained to us what happens, why. It's kind of some of these folks who have died and come back, you know, they've been gone for a couple minutes or something like that.
Well, let's go the other direction. The okay. alien thing. Do mm-hmm. you think that the Hudson Valley area 51?
Listen, the government is kind of starting to say that, you know, there are things in the sky that we can't explain. So, there's a lot of people who have said that for a long time. It's never been a big priority for me, but if it's there, it's there. There's probably not anything I can do about it.
Well, that was the point of what went on here in this particular town in Hudson Valley was mm-hmm. is that once the government came forward and said that there was now evidence, that videos and stuff, people that were a little reluctant to say something are coming out and speaking out a little bit more. Look, I know you had one more thing we wanted to talk about briefly here before our program comes to a screeching halt at the top of the hour here.
Well, I did. I found a story here, and I'm going to try to follow up, and we'll cover this maybe in more in depth. I'm thinking this might be something that some of the Travel Guys listeners might want to get involved in. It's the headline said, "Here's what you need to know before donating your old luggage to foster care." The gist of this story is that foster kids oftentimes have to change foster homes, and oftentimes their belongings end up in a trash bag. So maybe there's something that we can do about that. So that's the gist of this, and we'll talk a little bit about it next week. Maybe your old luggage, maybe we can send it someplace where it will really do some real good.
Yeah, that would be something. Instead of a kid moving from foster home to foster home with a trash bag full of their stuff,
yeah,
they could be taking it in maybe one of your old luggages. You know, my old luggage is there in Terminal B, A, the old one. It's that big tall pole. It's got luggage all the way around. If you look for the brown, shiny Samsonite, those are mine.
I thought you were going to tell me Sarah put your luggage out on the porch on a regular basis, but anyways.
There you go. All right. Hey, we're wrapping up. We'll see you next week at 3 o'clock. We'll do this all again here on The Travel Guys. Mark?
You got it. Dance like nobody's watching. See you next Sunday at 3.
He never has the time to turn around.